We want to thank y'all for tuning in to Run Up the Numbers.
Every Monday at 8 a.m. And if you missed us in the morning, you can catch the replay in the afternoon at 2 p.m. and again at 8. You can also check out the shows archived over at thenumbers.fm. And for you early risers, every Monday morning at 6 a.m. on 107.1 X-Ray FM.
Make sure you're following us on all social media because we out here.
Yes.
Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, yes. House Party,
yes.
YouTube,
there.
Twitch, Black Planet. I know y'all talking about our OnlyFans. It's going crazy in there. MySpace, Tinder, catch us ticking on the TikTok and Google Plus.
What's going on, y'all? This is DJ Ambush. Welcome to another installment of our collaboration with Community Energy Project. This is really, really special, though. This is this particular episode is a culmination of a bunch of things I've always wanted to do for a very long time, at least pre-pandemic, which seems like it's been forever ago. We are live at Mudbone. No, we are not live at Mudbone. This is cool.
This is Black Futures for our...
We are live.
We're children of Mudbone.
Children of Mudbone. Yeah. This is going to be great to edit. It's going to be perfect. We are live at Black Futures Farm. I'm here with my brother, Malcolm. And you know what's so funny, right? The episode right before this was with Knowledge. So, I'm going from one East Coaster to another one.
Knowledge. You want Knowledge Divine?
Yeah.
That's my brother.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
That's my brother.
I'm here with Knowledge Murphy. So, yeah, I am here at Black Futures Farm with Malcolm. And I remember coming out here with another brother of ours, Rob O. Again, this is pre-pandemic. And I forgot where we met, but just the concept of you telling me, yeah, I got a farm, man. Come on out and come get some produce and come get some veggies. And I'm like, what are you talking about? What do you mean Black people farming? Like, I'm from, you know, I think right. It might have been like 2019.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, you know, it's not that I was estranged to Black people farming, but it was just like, what you talking about, man? You know, you came out here from Philly. To be out here farming, that's what you came out here for?
Yeah.
Where are you? Like, what's the deal? And I came out here, and I remember it being one of the most serene and relaxing and amazing experiences, just being out here, watching people work the land, and learning so much about the process.
Yeah.
And what I hope our people, our listeners, get from this is, one, how we shouldn't be strangers to this. Knowledge said, you got to remember, we were actually brought here because we were experts in agriculture.
That's right. That's
right. Our indigenous cousins are experts in working this land. So we want to have a conversation today about making sure we're preparing ourselves and preparing our future for things that we just watch happen. Supply chain issues. Making sure that we can always feed our families healthy food, nutritious food, having better use of the land, getting more familiar with the process, having a more intimate relationship with things that you're putting in your body,
yeah.
Understanding the way the world works. We talked about solar energy in the last episode with Knowledge and how we just need to look at the green space from a completely different perspective. And there's a lot of things that we can learn. Water usage, sustainability, a lot of things. What's good, Malcolm?
Peace, Brother Ambush. Yo, thank you. Thank you. Malcolm Shabazz Hoover is my name. I'm originally from the Bay Area, but I grew up in Philadelphia. 19150, shout out to the 215.
Hey, hey, hey. Gotta
Philly
do that.
Philly versus everybody. Philly versus the world. So I grew up in Philadelphia. Came up here actually from Oakland. Lived in Oakland like 20 plus years. Shout out to the Bay, 510. 210, I was like 21510 was my Instagram tag forever. And I presently am the co-director, co-founder and co-director of Black Futures Farm, which is a program of Black Food Sovereignty Coalition, of which I'm one of the four co-directors. Started this farm in 2019, broke ground in January, MLK Day, January 2020. But we met in 2019. I think you came out here right around that time in 2020, like when we first got it popping off. I think, again, time warp because COVID, you know.
Yeah, like, COVID changed everything.
Yeah, so some years ago, I caught COVID in the interim, actually just recovered from, like, we got on a diagnosis in a second. So I'm really just coming out of it now. But yeah, Black Futures Farm is designed to reconnect Black people to the land. So that's what our mission is to bring Black people back to our own legacy of being agriculturalists and being in concert with the land and just being natural beings. Like, we are natural creatures. You know, we are the first human beings, and we're the first people to produce agriculture, the first people to pull sustenance out of the earth and to cultivate that and make that a practice. And that's a proven fact. And we were brought here to the Western Hemisphere. And that's a whole other story about, because Black people have been everywhere all around the world forever.
Right.
And so there were already some Africans and some indigenous Black people in the Americas. But that's not who I'm from. I'm from the slaves. Right. I'm just saying, right, from people who got kidnapped in this mug,
right,
dragged over here to the Carolinas, and eventually made their way to Tennessee, and my family came up here from California. Anyway, but I digress. So Black Futures Farm is designed to reconnect Black people to the land and to give us back our legacy of being able to support ourselves, to sustain ourselves, and that's really the whole mission, and we do that in a bunch of ways. We have we sit on 1.15 acres here in Southeast Portland. We recently acquired two more plots. So we have a plot directly to the east of us on the same property.
It's okay.
An herb garden that we have an arrangement with Racine Farms. And then my partner, wife, co-director, love of my life, is creating a wellness center to the north of us, right over okay. here on the same plot. So now our collective footprint is about 3 acres. And on this spot where the central location, we have, I think presently we got about 20 different varieties of vegetables growing. We grew from myself and Mirabai, pretty much being the full-time farmers, and a whole bunch of volunteers, including the other directors, and people involved with Black Food Sovereignty Coalition, our brother Quelle, and some other volunteers, just us, like, thugging it out, coming out here, no water. We had no irrigation. We were watering like 6 hours a day.
Whoa.
Yeah, 2.5 to 3 hours in the morning, and then 2.5 to 3 hours at night. You know, hand watering the whole thing. Just walking around with a hose. And the produce was beautiful. It was also, in those early days, a great way to acquaint ourselves with the landscape.
Right.
You know, and to really learn this place. Because everything had to be done by hand. Everything. We cleared all these fields by hand. We had a couple machines. We rarely used them. We still got a couple old busted, broken down machines out here in the field right now. And we just got out here and sweat equity the whole thing, man, and cleared it out and planted all of it by hand. Our first year, we had 100% of the plants that we had were donated.
Wow.
We donated seeds and donated starts. And we just took whatever we got from community and put it in the earth, man. And so that's why I say we're children of Mudbone, because Mudbone donated a lot of that to us. I got my start farming with Art Ishante.
Okay.
When I worked at Oregon Food Bank, I was the equity coordinator there and just didn't really like it. Wasn't like the best situation for me spiritually at the time. And so Shante and Art have a farm, Unity Farm, right next door, food bank property. It's an acre. And that's where I got my peace. I would go out. And just wrap to them. I'd be in my work clothes, you know, my button downs and slacks and, you know, nice loafers, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like my nice leather work shoes.
Right. out there farming.
Yeah, man. And I just got a rehab, though, you know? So I would go out there and I'd be like, man, grousing about work. And Art one day is like, bro, Brother Malcolm, like, we love you. We love talking to you, bro, but we working. And every time you come out here,
you slowing us down.
Yeah, we lose like an hour of work because we want to talk to you, but, you know, we need to keep working.
Right.
He's like, bro, if you want to be out here with us, you got to work.
Right.
And I was like, oh, okay, well, show me what to do. And so they started me off weeding.
Wow.
And then, man, like the second my hands touched the soil, I just start feeling better. You know, I just started feeling better and I start healing. And I was going to all the 12-step meetings and, like, you know,
yeah.
I think I just got out the shelter. Shout out to the 8x8s in Central City Concern, because that's who took care of me. Imani program. And I was just like, and still very spiritually troubled, you know, like I was, you know, really coming off being my active addiction.
Right.
And I was in a bad way. But it was that connection to the soil and to the earth and those two beautiful human beings. And they like brought me into their family, you know, introduced me to their kids and like just opened their lives to me. And I would not be here if it wasn't for them, you know. And so that connection, and they just like kept teaching me and putting me on, and like, and that resulted in this. You know, we started a program called We Grow. Some community members, they got a grant. And they came to the community like, what do you want us to do with this money? Like, we're going to use this money as a community. So out of that process, the NIFA grant process in IFA, we started a group called We Grow. We had a spot over at 60th in the Northeast where we had like a little half acre community farm where we all grew together every Sunday. We get together and we had beautiful melons and corn and collard greens, and it was great. It was the first crop of collard greens I planted myself, you know. And you can look at our collard greens this year and see what kind of progress that we've made, because our greens are beautiful. And that group had that garden, and then I started gardening over here at the spot where the herb spot is now. And then started just building relationships. Brother Charles Hanna, who was my supervisor at the time, I moved to a new organization, Impact Northwest. Now he is on our board of directors. He had seen this land and come over here and talk to the ancestors, and the ancestors told Charles that this was going to be for the black community. Charles told me, when we started BFSC as an organization, one of the first things we did was to acquire this property and to take over this property from OSU Extension, had a program called Beginning Urban Farm, Beginning Urban Farmer Apprenticeship Program. That's
okay.
It used to be on the site, the BUFA program. So it had been out of operation for about 6 years. And so we took over the site for BUFA and turned it into Black Futures Farm. And we just, this is our third season. We just keep rolling.
So you answered a couple of my questions there. Because initially I was going to ask you, I mean, sure, isn't it easier to just go buy your food? Like, what, you know, this is a lot of work. And I'm sure some of our listeners will be like, okay, that's cool and all, but yeah, it's much easier for me to just hit Safeway, hit Albertsons or whatever and be good. But, I mean, as we all just saw, it's not so easy.
It's not.
It really isn't. Things can change in a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat, bro.
Right. So before we had any of those issues, you'd already become dedicated to this work. What were some of the benefits just from making that decision to be like, you know what, I not only do I want to make sure I'm growing my own, but positioning myself to provide for community?
Yeah, I don't think anybody has ever asked me that question. That's a great question. So many benefits, bro, and no minuses. There's no downside to this. Like, everything that I need to make me happy comes from me doing this work.
Wow.
So selfishly, a lot of people have different motivations for serving the community and being in civic life or whatever.
Of course.
I serve the community because it makes me happy, because it's my purpose. It's like my dad and mom named me after Malcolm X, programmed from a very early age to be a servant of the people. And I find a great deal of joy from service, service to the people. Like, it means something to me. And I take it very seriously. I take it as like, I don't play with it. I don't play with the people at all.
Right.
It's like, this is, my life is committed to this.
You.
So you see, it's easier to go to the store, but is it? Because you got to get in your car, right? You got to drive to the store.
Facts.
You got to wait around, pick stuff that's been, I don't want to talk about it, it's already been in there for 2 weeks at least, right? You sort through it, everybody else done touched it. Take it home, wash it, and prepare it. Bro, I jump in my truck. I live 9 minutes, maybe 10 minutes from here. I drive 10 minutes. I come through the gate. I go out to the field. I pick what I want. I go back home. I cook it. It's harvested that day. Maybe two other people have touched it.
Right.
I've known this plant since I put the seed in the ground. I know these plants individually.
Right.
Not just this food. I know this particular plant. I can walk you out there and I can tell you what day it went in the ground, what the life cycle of it is, what it tastes like at different periods of that cycle. Oh, yeah.
What?
Because collard greens taste different in the summer than they do in the winter. Yeah. Collards actually taste better. All brassicas, like collards, cabbage, spinach, they always taste better. Spinach or brassica? Yes. They always taste better in the winter because the plant puts more sugar out to preserve the plant. So when you eat it, it just tastes way better. It's like the plant, the leaves that have been nibbled on a little bit by the bugs, those are the best tasting leaves.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, those are the best ones. You never see those in a grocery store because they're not pretty. But the plant puts out a protein that the bugs don't like, but that humans love. And so the plant gets nibbled on, puts out that protein, bug comes back, oh, it's not cool no more. It doesn't mess with it anymore.
So you said something a little bit earlier about how long the produce sits before we get it.
Forever.
You said something about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about that a little bit.
It might be months for things like apples, because they keep for a long time.
Right.
You know, things that are out of season. You got mangoes in December. Where they come from? Where you get that mango from?
Right.
Maybe Florida. You know, but it came on a truck from Florida. It didn't get on no overnight flight.
So there's a significant amount of nutrients that's lost during that time period.
Yeah, most of it is gone.
And then also whatever they're using to keep them.
It's got all kind of chemicals on it, bro. If you get some produce from, just say any farm, well, any organic farm, right? Farmers market, what you're going to buy has most likely been harvested either that day. Certainly not more than like 3 or 4 days, right? It's fresh. It hasn't been handled by a bunch of people.
Right.
It's not sitting at Albertsons getting misted so it doesn't look bad. It ain't sat out somewhere overnight, you know, in a store full of germs and stuff. Ain't nobody dug through it to get, it's fresh. And I love to tell people, hey, I pulled this out of the earth this morning myself.
Right.
I washed this, I wrapped it, and now I'm giving it to you. You know, this is the best you're going to get. So you asked me earlier, like, what are some of the benefits? Malcolm said, if you can't feed the people, you can't lead the people. So I have a very practical example that I can, my own life, that I can show people about how it's possible to center service, to center your community, to center self-sufficiency, to center blackness and service to black people with not compromising that ideologically or practically. That we grow food is beautiful, but we have a very practical and useful organizing model that we share with people. You know, like you said, everybody's always skeptical when they say you have a farm.
Of course.
And then the first assumption is I'm lying, and the second assumption is I'm talking about weed. You know, I'm like, no, bro.
We are in Oregon.
Yeah, I grow vegetables, bro. Yeah. I don't grow weed. I'm not a marijuana grower. I'm a vegetable farmer.
Right.
The last question people always ask is, do you have any animals? I don't. There's rats out here and some squirrels, but ain't no, like, livestock.
Right.
You know, and so I like to come and show people, like, yeah, we, you know, oh, I got this out the mud. Yes, my wife and I and our friends and our community built this with our own hands. You know, it's no heavy earth moving machines out here.
Right.
We had 20 volunteers with shovels, you know. Well, we put up that high tunnel, you know. We cast that concrete. We cleared all these fields. We just got a battery powered and a gas lawnmower. Before we was out here with the push mowers.
Wow.
Yes.
See, this, so that's the other aspect. This is a lot of work, man.
Yeah, man, but it's worth it.
Okay.
It's worth it. You learn how to do the work smart. You know, and I look around, I'm like, oh, that grass over there needs to be mowed. And, you know, we have a lot of volunteers who come out, like Ndamukong Suh, the football player from here who played at Grant.
Yeah.
His mom, Miss Sue, Miss Bernadette. That's her little row of berries back there.
Stop.
We planted them, but she maintains them.
That's tight.
Yeah, man. We have real community support. And that's another thing that I think is essential to any kind of enterprise when you have a nonprofit or whatever. When the community buys into making you and supporting you,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not talking about money.
Right.
But when the community shows up and they're like, hey, I want to be a part of this. As a matter of fact, let me own this part of it. That's how you know you're doing the good work.
Right.
And you're on the right path. We haven't arrived yet. We're not there. The other day, I was somewhere, and a sister said, oh, you the farmer.
Mm.
She heard my name. And I was like, oh, you the farmer. You that farmer dude. And it was a sister, like a down-the-block sister. You know what I mean? Like, not somebody who you would think was into farming.
Right.
You know, like a real, like a live one. I was like, oh, yeah, what's up, sis? I was like, good in the hood.
Okay. Yeah.
I was like, yeah, sis, I'm the farmer. And she was like, yeah, I follow you on Instagram. I heard your interviews. I have a garden. You taught me this. You taught me that. I was like, wow. This is beautiful. Like, I was really, like, I wanted to cry. I was so happy.
Of course.
You know, I was like, this is incredible. You know? And she's like, I really like the way you talk about this. I'll be watching your little Instagram stories. I was like, man. That's the best thing ever. You know? Like, that's how you know you're doing a good work when people who are not even, like, necessarily, you know, into, like, your black nerdy agriculture stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, pull up on you and they've invested their time into learning and seeing what you're seeing and go out of their way to tell you. Because a lot of times, you know, we don't want to acknowledge our own.
Listen. You
know, we don't really be giving each other our flowers.
We come from the land of that.
You know.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Okay, he got that little garden, you know.
They got the little garden, got a little farm.
Yeah, they got, you know. Yeah.
Got a little acres.
Yeah, they be, you know, they're all right. What they do is cool. You know, ain't no, you know. Niggas ain't got no grocery store, but you know.
right.
You're like, that's next, bro. You know, we got the mobile grocery truck coming up soon, you know. But it's a lot of love, man, and so I really don't take that for granted, you know. I'm honored by that. You know, and that's how that's my fuel to keep doing it.
Like,
I'm gonna do it even better and get more people. And we go add on. You know, this year we hired a first employee, so we have a full-time farmer.
That's tight.
We pay him a good wage. You know, like the brother gets a really good salary to learn how to do this work with us. We're mentoring him and training him and another brother. So we have him and another brother who works here part-time.
Okay.
Like 20, 25 hours a week. And it's beautiful, man. I come out here and, you know, they're just having the time of their life. You know, they're younger, about 10 years apart, younger brothers. And they really like each other and they're doing good work. And this is really them more than me this year.
Mm.
You know, like.
Wow.
They're boots on the ground. I'm in the office behind the glowing screen. You know, I come out once or twice a week, you know, misdirect everybody and go home, you know. But it's them and my wife, and we had his brother Rodrigo. And a couple of people who he works with, and they come in and they put in the work, and you know we pay them all. You know, everybody is paid. It's a blessing that I'm able to see this vision that I had take off and grow in this way.
What I love about this this story, it's parallel in a couple of ways to the conversation again I had with Knowledge, mm-hmm. where he was talking about solar energy and how, in one aspect. We look at how it can save us money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it directly benefits us. But once you get to a certain position within having a solar setup. I'm not going to give all the details. I need y'all to go listen to that episode.
Right. Check out the Brother Knowledge.
And hear the strategy.
Yeah.
But there's ways that you could, the community can benefit from you having a solar setup. So this is exactly some of the same, you know, some of the same structure here, same modeling. Members of the community are joining you here to do this work, which exponentially benefits all of us. Talk to me about some of the challenges, because I know it wasn't all rosy. It couldn't have been.
No.
It couldn't have been. You are a black man.
Yeah.
We are in the whitest city in America.
Say it.
In a state that hasn't always been as welcoming as it is now. Psh. And I use that word sparingly.
Euphemism like a mug.
Resources are always a challenge. Getting the proper resources is always a challenge. Having people not want to be an overseer in every aspect of what you're doing is always an issue, especially within working within philanthropic organizations, any government funding. It's always someone like, well, do you really know what you're doing? Do you actually know? So I know it hasn't been all good. It's great where we are now. It hasn't been all good. There's definitely had to have been some challenges.
Yeah.
So definitely speak to that. And I want to preference the response. I want people to understand where I'm sitting right now is to be celebrated. But people need to understand that, we're on this other side of the challenges. It can happen.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
I don't want them to hear these challenges and be discouraged by them, because we're here now.
Yeah.
But definitely, let's talk about some of the challenges.
Okay. Let me preface what I have to say by, I used to really heavily study theology and spiritual matters, because I thought I was going to be a preacher or minister. Right? I thought I was going to be a minister, and I was one day going to have my own church. And this is like kind of my ministry.
Yeah.
So my pastor, Pastor Granham in Philadelphia, I was going through it with my first son's mother, and just having like a really hard time. And Pastor Grant pulled me to the side one day after Bible study. He says, "Man, you know what?" He said, I know you're meant to do great things." I was like, "How, Pastor?" You know, and he said, "Because people who don't do great things." Basically, he said your measure by the obstacles that are put in front of you.
Yeah.
The devil don't bother people who are not meant to do nothing.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And he said the devil doesn't have to destroy you, he just has to distract you. So when you get distracted, that's when you fall off your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but you're going through all this now, he said, because you're gonna do great things later. And I was like, okay, Pastor.
I hear you.
I know I'm going through hell right now. That's what I do know.
Right.
So, we've had obstacles, but we keep our eye on the prize. So, anybody who's going through it, and I'm going to talk about the obstacles in a minute, but I need to say that because I've been through some obstacles. I was homeless 6 years ago.
Mm.
You know, I was sleeping in a park and scrambling money and begging my relatives to give me money for a hotel. You know, I went to rehab for 8 months.
Right.
My credit is still shaky.
Right.
You know, I was on TriMet and not doing well at all. And if you'd have told me back then that I was going to be here now, I wouldn't believe it.
Of course.
There's no way in hell. Come on, bro. So some of the challenges we had, theft. People constantly come out here and steal. We've had thousands and thousands of dollars worth of equipment and tools stolen from our site.
Mm.
And that's because it's open to the public, it's easy to get to, and people know that it's here,
right,
and it's accessible, and there's no cameras out here, there's one camera way over there. So it's an easy place to steal from. Mm-hmm. So that's been a problem. And that's been from day one, from jump. You know, we've replaced gorilla carts and coolers and anything these people can steal. Institutionally, we've had some obstacles.
Mm.
We initially had this site plus a greenhouse over there.
Okay.
there was a one of the pipes burst because the greenhouse hadn't been used for a long time. The greenhouse flooded. Mm. Called maintenance. The property manager for PPS shows up, basically boots us out of the greenhouse, even though we had a sublease from the people Bufa, the program, the same program that was here.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were told that Bufa didn't have the right, OSU didn't have the right to sublet us the greenhouse, but they had somehow had the right to sublet us this land until we signed our own lease.
Interesting.
Really interesting. Completely threw us off our game because now we didn't have a place to grow our plants.
Right.
To grow our starts. That's half of your startup when you're in the beginning of your season is having a place to grow starts. Now we don't have a covered place to meet. You know, we were going to turn some of that into classroom space. We had plans for it.
Wow.
We even had an investor who said, look, you guys need to refurbish this place. I'll pay for it all. Right. Was going to pay for whatever our rent was to refurbish the space. We're going to have our office in there. It was going to be a beautiful space for community.
In addition to this, yeah.
We still don't have a greenhouse. So those are some of our early obstacles. There was money, of course, but we had such a groundswell of support from this community. People showed up for us in ways that I just could not have imagined. Our first MLK Day. Every year on MLK Day, we do a year of service, right? I mean, okay. We have a day of service. We have people come out. The first day we had it, we had like 132 volunteers, bro.
Wow.
All day. So we're out here playing speeches, you know, having some conversations about what MLK really stood for, what right. liberation looked like.
Right.
You know, I mean, I was in my glory, bro. Like, I couldn't believe it. You know, like... And then people just a constant, you know, here's money, here's these plants that I have, here's some seeds for y'all, you know, here's some tools for you.
Right.
Just things that we had, we put in the consciousness that we needed, and those things would show up, you know. And me and Mirabai constantly would check in with each other, like, I can't believe that we just got that. You have to believe, you know, including a truck that we had donated from Toyota, 2017 Tundra.
What?
Yes, sir. Our farm truck was donated to us by Toyota out of nowhere right at the beginning of the pandemic. One of our volunteers calls us. Shout out to Love P. Calls us and is like, hey, do you guys need a farm truck? And we're like, yes.
Yeah.
We're carrying around all this produce in my old Toyota Camry. Absolutely. You know?
What?
Of course we do. She says, okay, I'm gonna put you in touch with these people who reached out to us from Toyota. Toyota reaches out. They're like, yeah, basically, we have a donation program. It's an internal program. You can't even apply for it.
Oh, wow.
You can't even apply for it. Toyota looks out across the nonprofit sector once a year, selects, like, I think 6 organizations, right? And then donates vehicles or money or whatever to them. So they say, hey. We can't get into the place where we were going to donate this truck. Would you like it? We took delivery of that truck in October, bro.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, like, here's the spin on that. I wanted a Tundra really bad.
Before that.
Way before that. This has been my truck of choice for, like, ever. For years. And I finally had a little piece of a job. You know, I was stable.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I knew I could maintain it.
Right.
So I was just about to go get one. And I was looking like, I'm on social media looking at people's Tundra builds and stuff. And Mirabai one night was like, what are you doing? I was like, yeah, I'm looking at this truck.
I'm dreaming.
And,
window shopping.
Yeah. And she was like, babe, you're putting too much energy towards that. Somebody's going to give us a truck. I'm going to need you to relax. And I was like, babe, ain't nobody go give us a $30,000 truck. Get out of here. Like, because the one I was looking at was about $30,000.
Okay.
You know, stop it, Mirabai. Stop your weird dreaming. We're weirdo. Weirdo. That was like July.
And then August.
October. Yeah.
October. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, like, you know, it's when I say it's not even a thing that you can apply for, like, you can't go to Toyota, like, we heard y'all is giving away cars.
Right.
Give me one. No. Uh-uh. You cannot. And they shipped that truck all the way from their corporate headquarters, like in Texas, whatever, to here just for us, man. So no strings attached. We don't have to, like, brand it, you right. know, like none of that. It's like, here, this is yours.
The universe at work.
Man, you know, so the instant you form the thought in your head, I believe, in my experience has been, the minute that you put the intention into the universe that you want a thing, the universe conspires at that instant to deliver it to you. Mm. You have to prepare to receive it.
Let me ask you this. Mm. For anyone that may be inspired by what they're hearing right now, what tips would you have on how to get started? And maybe it's not to have an entire farm. Maybe it's just, you know, develop some of the existing property you have in their backyard. Maybe it's just having a box right outside, you know, their apartment complex. What would be some of the things that you would, some starting tips?
First thing is be patient with yourself.
Okay.
Like, that's the most important thing. You know, you need to be patient with yourself. Gardening with goo. There's Big Steel, the Urban Gardener. You know, you can look at these are people on social media who okay. I follow. Sign up for the extension classes. You know, go online. There's all kind of great things on YouTube, but you got to take the stuff you see on YouTube with a grain of salt.
Because it's produced.
It's heavily produced, right?
Right.
And people are afraid to, like, fail in public.
Yeah.
When something doesn't work out here, I try to find stuff that doesn't work out here so I can share it and share with people. Like, look, you know, this didn't work out that well. Mm-hmm. This is what it looks like. This is what we did.
Right.
You know.
How we resolve that.
Yeah. Or not. Like, sometimes in farming, you just lose it. It doesn't work out. You got to take it out the ground. You're just not going to, it's not going to grow. But you can't be frustrated by that.
Yeah.
It's life. Things don't always happen the way you want them to. You might have the wrong soil. There might be heavy pest pressure, which is like a lot of bugs. Mm-hmm. You have to keep trying. And things want to grow in the earth. Like, that's the other thing about growing food is, like, things want to grow.
Yeah.
You got to really try hard and neglect it for it not to grow. It right. might not, you know, like, be super great.
But it'll grow.
Right. You know what I mean? And there's really easy things to grow, like tomatoes. Put a tomato seed in the ground, it's going to grow. Period. Potatoes grow. You know? When a potato at your house starts to grow the little legs and eyes, chop that joint in half, put it aside, let it, like, scab over a little bit, so, like, the wet part, the white part, let that get brown so it's kind of, like, tough. And then dig a hole 8 inches and throw that thing in the ground, man.
Listen, I ain't going to lie. I definitely killed some tomato plants. Let me just put that on the record.
I have two.
We're on the record. Two tomato plants were donated to us in a bucket. They had their own separate buckets. I believe they received too much water.
Yeah.
Because of where they were located near our gutter, which has a leak in it. So it was just like, flooded out.
Right. Okay. And you killed the plants. And that's fine. It happens. You know, hopefully you put the plants, you know, in a compost bin, or they went back to the earth or whatever.
Right.
You know, and, like, it happens. Things like artichokes grow year after year after year. They're annual, so you only have to really plant them once. And, you know, your first year, you're not going to get that great a yield. But year two, three, as it goes on, it becomes more established. It'll always grow for you.
Why don't you get a greater yield? Is that unique to artichokes or anything you grow the first year? You don't get the greater yield.
Artichokes, asparagus. Some plants just take a while to get established.
Okay.
You know, it's like a person. You know, it takes a minute. I didn't figure life out till I was like 46.
Gotcha.
You know, like, took me a really long time to mature and, like, get it together.
Right.
You know, patience. I had to be patient and forgiving of myself. You have to be that in anything. You know, one thing that I think that our society misteaches us is that you're going to be successful right away.
Right.
And they don't talk about the 10-year rule. 10 years of doing a thing will make you really good at doing that thing. Mm-hmm. If you're consistent over 10 years, even if it's just once a week, if you spend an hour a week doing a thing, right? That's 52 hours a week.
Yeah.
Right? Over 10 years. That's 520 weeks. Now you got 520 hours of practice on the thing. That's a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
Pro level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, just be consistent. Pay attention to the plant. One thing that I've learned from farming is how to look at a plant to see how healthy it is. I watch plants over time, so you see them when they're not watered, they're real droopy. After they get watered at night or in the morning, you know, so it has time and it's not under, the water isn't evaporating out of the soil in the heat of the day, you know. So you water at night or you water early in the morning before the sun comes out fully and allows that soil to really fully absorb that water, mm-hmm. and the plants will absorb it. The nutrients, because the plant's not just absorbing the water, it's absorbing the nutrients that are produced by the bacteria and all the other little organisms
that are in the soil.
Active, yeah, around the roots of the plant. And that's what the plant is taking in. So, yeah, it's dope, man. All the things that you learn in agriculture and in farming and just growing food and growing plants has taught me like a whole new way of looking at everything. You know, like whenever I'm somewhere, if there's a plant, I always walk over to and like tap in with the plant.
Check in.
Yeah, I touch the plant, you know, make sure the leaves are healthy.
Right.
If it needs water, I'll go get it water. You know, like,
yeah,
it's really made me like a better human being, you know. And I think you can grow in any space. You can grow in a pot, you know. I just get a plant and try to grow it. Mm. You know, look up the care instructions. Like, read about that plant.
Yeah.
I recently transplanted a plant I have called an alocasia. It's a house plant. It's really beautiful. It has looks like kind of like a dinosaur plant, like an old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's great, like a Jurassic plant. But I had in the wrong kind of soil, so it wasn't growing that well. And I put it in like a different, looser kind of soil that has more. It's like soil and like a coconut core, like a fiber. So
okay.
It's like a very loose soil.
Yeah.
Man, that plant took off, bro.
Wow.
Yeah, that plant took off. That plant is so much happier. You can't use the same kind of soil for all plants.
Right.
You know.
How do people get involved? Anyone that wants to either come out and learn from you, come out and work?
We're going to learn from each other.
Bet. How do people get involved?
Real easy. You go to blackfutures.farm on the web, blackfutures.farm. It's a voluntary application. There's really no application. It's like, tell us about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of us from the farm, either myself, Malcolm, Mirabai, or Daniel, is going to reach out to you and say, hey, come on a Friday or a Saturday, print out that waiver, you know, and just come and be consistent. You know, the more you show up, the more you'll get from it.
Right.
You know, and that's how people get involved. You can hit us up on Instagram at Black Futures Farm on Instagram. Same thing on Facebook. You can reach out to me. My personal Instagram is Malcolm313. And I'm always trying to build community. You know, like, this thing doesn't work without the people.
Right.
And it's for the people. And in a few years, Mirabai and I hope to walk away from it and turn it wholly back over to the community. You know, my dream is that some other young people and some elders come out here and they want to add on and take ownership of this place. You know, and I would love to just be like, you know, I'm a director.
Right.
You know, I'm just raising money and bringing awareness to the site. You know, and there's other people out here adding on and benefiting from it. And, you know, like, practically, anybody who comes out here is going to get, when I send people away with produce, which is a particular tradition of ours,
mm-hmm.
we try to never send people away empty handed. We're going to give you 20, 30, 40, 50, $80 worth of groceries, worth of produce,
mm-hmm.
organic, beautiful, mm-hmm. nutritious. Wait till you cook these greens I'm finna give you. Bro, I promise you.
What did you give me last time? Was some potatoes? I can't remember what it is you gave me last time.
I think
time.
I gave you some onions and some potatoes. I think,
man, first off, lasted a minute. Second off, yeah, I definitely remember how that food tasted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I try to tell people, like, look, and you can do this. This is not magic.
Right.
This is just soil. We built the soil over the past 3 years, so we have really good soil now. We inherited really good soil, but the soil we have now is fantastic.
Oh, talk to me about that, building the soil.
Oh, yeah.
What's that process?
So there's dirt, which is just the stuff you brush off your clothes.
Right.
And there's soil. Soil is a living thing. Like, if you were to pick up a handful of the soil from out here and put it under a microscope, you would see a whole world in there. It's a very active environment with organisms who feed on and with each other. There's mycelial growth, which is, you know, fungus,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the whole, you're going to see a whole universe in your hand. And the way you build soil is to encourage beneficial organisms. So encourage all those things to be there, and not just worms and beetles.
Okay.
Which is what I saw when I first came. A lot of beetles, beautiful beetles and worms who move through the soil and keep it loose. But then you want to encourage mycelial growth by having a bunch of mushrooms and other fungus growing out here, because the mycelium is like the super highway. It's like the internet of the plant world.
Interesting.
Bro, plants communicate with each other. And the more organic matter you have in the soil, the richer your soil will be, the happier your plants will be. Because that's what feeds the plant.
Okay.
All those things, right? Like mycelium brings nutrients and information from all the plants. So this tree is communicating with those raspberries. It's communicating with that tree.
Wow.
It's communicating with those plants over there. You know, all these plants on this property are all, the whole everything, not just here at Black Futures Farm,
right,
but this whole 19 and a half acre complex are all in constant communication with one another.
Wow.
Through mycelium and chemicals that they release out in the air, bro. Like, I came out here the other night at 1:30 to try to stymie these hooligans who keep...
Rapscallions.
Yes. So I came out here at like 1:30 in the morning. I was out here for like an hour. And I sat here at that bench. And I just listened. You know? And it was a whole other world.
Mm.
You know, the animals, all the... It's a possum out here. It's a... Ooh, the possum.
There's a possum out here eating good.
Bro, he scared me. I was like, what is that?
Small bear.
Yeah, man. This possum was like, what you doing here? Psh, it's hella late. Why don't you go home? And then scurried off. I was like, okay, I'm going to leave.
Deuces,
now.
Yeah. I'm going to go.
You don't stop these robbers, but I got to go.
Right.
Yeah. Saw a huge slug. I saw a slug had to be this big, like the size of my hand.
No.
Yeah, man. Like this long and like this fat. Like
no.
A huge slug.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's Jurassic Park.
Yeah, man. It's a different life, you know. But I could also feel these plants, bro. I could feel them. It was just like the air was alive.
Wow.
Yeah, man. I love it. I love it.
Wow.
And
wow.
I just a peace. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I was so agitated during the day because we had just recently had a break in and I just wanted to come out here. I was like, ugh. And, man, yeah, I sat down and I was like, wow, this is beautiful. You know? And then I got angry because I was like, people disturb this.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, yeah. Yeah.
People come out here and they violate this.
Yeah.
And like, that sense of peace that you felt is what we hear commonly, what we also feel, and we want people to have that. Life is hectic for Black people, man.
Yeah.
Especially now.
Yeah.
Especially Black women.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so that we get to cultivate a place where people get to feel safe and feel peace and like get fed and build community, this is sacred. How dare you come here and steal?
Right.
How dare you come here and violate this?
Well, you have the option to come be a part of it.
You could be. I turn away nobody hungry, bro. Anybody, I'd rather give it to a person than compost it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Like, anybody could come here and be like, Malcolm, I need some. I'm going to give it to you. Mm. And I've caught people out here harvesting when they thought nobody was here.
Right.
And I help them. Here, let me show you how to do this. You need a bag? Let me help you out. Here's my number. Next time you need something, just call me and let me know.
Right.
Don't feel like you need to come out here
and sneak. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, we out here to help you.
Yeah.
If you need it, I got it for you. If I got it, you got it. You know?
When do you have those pickups?
So this year we're doing pop-ups. We're at one market. We are at the Come Through Market. 7th and Southeast.
Okay.
Salmon. Daniel, our farmer, does the Come Through Market. Daniel and Keone, mostly Daniel. If you watch our Instagram, we'll announce our next pop-up.
Okay.
It's basically a long harvest, so we're having one probably in the next 2 weeks, I would say.
Okay.
And it'll just be me and Mirabai posted out here. It'll be 5 to 7. Probably on like a Thursday or Friday after work hours, so people can just pull up. You know, we'll give everybody a bag. We'll harvest and harvest with you. Fill up your bag.
That's dope.
Yeah, yeah. Because we, and it's giveaway. It's not, we're not charging.
Right.
You know, because it's, the bounty is for the community. We want right. everybody to have it. And the plants need to be trimmed. You know, you can't just They actually have to harvest them in order for them to keep growing and being healthy.
I'm inspired. I know that much. I'm definitely inspired. It seems a lot more feasible to do like a little box at the house.
Absolutely, man. Know? And you think one plant, 8 inches to a foot. Give every plant its own 8 inches to a foot of space to grow. So one of the mistakes that we commonly make is we want to put 15 plants all in the same because we want all these things, right?
Right.
Those plants are going to choke each other out. They're going to be competing for resources, sunlight, you know, water, all the things they need to grow. You don't want to do that. Give every plant at least 6, 8 inches, at least 6, depending on the plant, but ideally like a foot, which is the whole principle, square foot gardening.
Okay.
I don't really subscribe to that. You know, I have a different way of planting, but it's not wrong. It's just not what I do.
Gotcha.
Or not what we do here. If you go out in our rows and you see our rows are 50 feet long, approximately 3 feet wide, and we plant kind of tic-tac, we'll go like this.
Yeah.
And that allows us to put more in the space and allows, you know, the plant to have like, and it aesthetically, I think it's more pleasing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, companion planting. So like marigolds and tomatoes go together well. So you have a flower and, you know, a practical thing, a tomato. Yeah, there's a lot of things that grow well together. You just have to, and there's all kind of charts and stuff out here. So you, these things go together. These things do not, you know, these things like each other. These things do not. And it doesn't take, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. There is so much science in it. And as a science nerd, as somebody who loves science, I love the science of it, you know, but you don't have to have that. You don't even have to like that.
Yeah.
You just have to be aware of like when your soil gets dry, when your plant needs to be pruned, how to look for bugs. If you get bugs, you don't got to go buy a bunch of chemicals. You can take like 2 tablespoons of dishwashing liquid. Like, hopefully you get one that's non-toxic.
Okay, go on.
Dawn, Pam, whatever, I mean, whatever, right?
Yeah.
Take two tablespoons, right? Put in a squirt bottle, fill that squirt bottle with water, shake up that squirt bottle, go out to your plant and squirt that stuff on your plant.
On the leaves or at the base?
On the leaves.
Okay.
It'll get rid of aphids. Do it consistently. The aphids, those little green aphids, don't have the strength to crawl back up. That's why they cluster in one spot.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Murphy's oil, Murphy's soap is perfect
for Murphy's that. Murphy's oil soap, yeah.
Yep, perfect for that.
All right.
Yeah. As diatomaceous earth.
Say again?
Diatomaceous earth. It sounds all scientific, but everybody does it. You can personally eat it. It's not going to bother you. If you have a lot of, also it's good for aphids, sprinkle diatomaceous earth on and around the aphids. It's like glass to them. It gets underneath their carapace and grinds their little saddle from the inside. It's bad for them.
They hate it.
Yeah, beetles, same thing. You know, and it doesn't hurt the earth. It doesn't hurt the plant.
Perfect. Perfect. All right. In a perfect world, you know what? In this world.
Yeah.
What's next? What's next?
Oh, there's a lot, bro. For the farm, we're growing. Our footprint has expanded here a little bit. We were the recipient this past year of a planning grant for PSEF.
Congratulations.
So, yeah, thank you. So we're moving to a clean energy model. We're doing we're studying what it would take for us to do that now. So we're looking, you know, we're bringing in experts to come in and talk to us and do like a site study. We'll produce a report for the PSEF committee. That'll also be available to the community. We'll have some on-person site visits here and some workshops so people can learn.
Nice.
Rainwater reclamation, really practical things that people can come and benefit in. And then depending on that report, we'll have an implementation phase where, you know, we'll put some more infrastructure here on the site. We're also adding a wellness center over here. So there'll be like a wellness meditation space that's not only flowers and stuff will grow over there, but it'd be like a community-led and community program wellness space.
Nice.
So you'll be able to go on, sign up, hey, I need it, I want to teach yoga, I want to do meditation, whatever, right over there in that space. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
That's dope.
We acquired a bus from TriMet. TriMet donated one of those smaller buses to us.
Word?
Yeah, so I'm looking for grant money right now to convert that to a grocery bus to take produce not just from Black Futures Farm and our other farm, which is RBG Freedom Farm on Salvi's Island, to take our produce and the produce of our friends out to the community and distribute it.
That's beautiful.
So foster homes, senior homes,
yeah,
free, just to pull up and be like, hey, we had these products that we were given money to purchase, right? And we're here to bring these products to you. You know, I mean, I dream about that. Like, so when I say that this place has given me everything,
yeah,
one of my longest dreams since I could ever remember was to be able to pull up to cats on the block and be like, yo, man, you want a job? Right now, today? And things like this farm and the grocery bus,
yeah,
allow me to do that. You know, if a brother says, hey, man, I'm trying to make $5,100, you know, okay, pull up, bro. Like, I got you. If you come out here and work, I'll put money in your pocket at the end of the day.
Right.
You know, if you come out here and put in and learn, if you keep showing up, you know, you might get a job out of it.
Right.
That's how we got Daniel.
Plant seeds.
Yeah.
Something will grow.
That's right. The grocery bus, eventually I want that to be like a cooperatively owned enterprise. I want 1, 2, 3 people to be able to use that as their own money-making, right, sustaining venture.
Right.
You know, and there's all kinds, man, there's all.
And that's just the one bus.
That's just one. Because what I do,
eventually we'd like a fleet.
We would. Of sustainably, like, biodiesel.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
EVs, whatever it is. Because we're all about black futures. We're looking for, like, not what's next, but what can we build for what's after this?
Yeah.
Because this whole system is not sustainable. The way that our country was founded and is run and this hoopla that's going on right now, this can't stand. This cannot. We cannot continue in this direction and be successful.
No.
You know, I was born in 1970. I was first generation in my family born totally free. Mm. My generation, right? So that means I could vote, live wherever I want, do whatever I want with my life. There's no legal restrictions on me.
Right.
That doesn't exist anymore. That America is not. Now they done cracked down on women. They're right. Trying to destroy any trans rights that these people have carved out and fought for.
Right.
You know, these past 30, 40 years, like, this America is considerably less free than America was in the 60s. And that is horrible.
Right.
And we don't show any signs of slowing down. We headed pell-mell in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
So when this thing comes to a screeching halt, you know, when America has decided that the American experiment is no longer viable, you know, what are we going to do? What's next? How do we sustain ourselves? What systems have we created that are going to make sure that we eat every day, that we have housing, that we have a system of bartering,
yeah,
that's not based on capitalism and exploitation, yeah, and trying to get over on each other, but based on us mutually cooperating with each other for our benefit? Bro, I'm not trying to have more than you have.
Right.
In our pay structure in Black Futures Farm, nobody makes more than $5 than the other people. So if I make 25,
the least anyone makes is 20.
Is 20.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody's contribution is valuable. Everybody does important work. There's no extra people out here.
No such thing.
And we don't treat people like that. We invest into people who come here and work with us.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Brother, thank you so much for this afternoon.
Thank you.
This early evening. This has been amazing. I really, really hope. And listen, anyone that's been listening to this series is going to hear me say this over and over again. I really, really hope you share. And this isn't because I want a bunch of plays. Because the information is really, really relevant. It's timely. It's important to all of us. Put this in as many ears as possible. Thank you again, man. Thank you so much, bro. We'll catch y'all on the next installment. All right. Peace.